The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello there. This is Fred Brack from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, as it always is, and they've been serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. We're going to return now to the January 2019 edition of Our State magazine, celebrating North Carolina. The theme this month is Warm Winter Escape, Biltmore's Hidden Jungle, Rare Orchids, Exotic Plants, and Gardening Gurus in Asheville. We covered that last week in the photo essay. So we're going to move on. I love the picture that goes with this article. I'll tell you what the caption says, and then I'll describe the picture. It says there are 9 Mast General Stores in North Carolina, South Carolina, and Tennessee. The original one in Valley Crucis, occupying a charming 1883 building, stocks local history with its penny candy, winter boots, and other gear. I've always wanted to go there, and then I found out there was one in Winston-Salem, and Our State magazine was sponsoring the winners of some contest there. So a few weeks ago, my wife and I went out there and met up with some old friends who moved off to Jefferson and merged in the store and chatted and looked around, and I took a great picture of a sign that kind of, I sometimes think, described me. It says, been there, done that, don't remember. But anyway, the picture that is on this page here is this white-fronted three-story, or it's really a two-story building, kind of like a big attic window up there at the top. But on the left-hand side, up against one of these white walls, it says Valley Crucis, North Carolina. There is an extremely faded Say Pepsi Please sign with a cap from a bottle of Pepsi pictured, and you just have to imagine what most of it looks like because it's all rusted over. But what I like is right in front of that, there is a tall sign holder, and hanging from the sign holder is a standard Esso dealer sign. And of course, if you remember, it was an oval shape. Standard and dealer were in navy blue. Esso is in bright red. This one has the added feature of rust, but you have to go to Europe nowadays to buy Esso gasoline. Here it would be Exxon. And we have an American flag behind that, and Mast Store, says the sign on the front of the building. And there's one of those really old gas pumps, big tall cylinder with a glass top. And there's a more modern one a little further down, but I don't know if it's functional or not. At any rate, the name of the article is Warm Fuzzies and Other Things You Need This Season. Stocking up on provisions means gathering what you need to weather any season. But at these 4 locally owned shops, it also means finding what you don't know you need, like woolly buggers or a whittling knife. Your folks know what you want, even if you don't. And some of these items are pictured down below. It says, day packs from Great Outdoor Provision Company are perfect for a wintry hike. One of these is green, and one of these is royal blue. At New Sports Shop, a bull elk keeps watch over the shoppers. And there he is, mounted on the wall. Delk's military surplus goods are tough enough for any adventure. Here's some heavy-duty boots and a belt and a little some sort of an army medal, a star hanging from some ribbons, and that's they're sitting on top of a pair of gloves, and it looks like a flannel shirt behind. Overleaf. Original Mass General Store, Valley Crucis, a living tradition. A shop that has its own zip code is sure to stock something for everyone. John and Fay Cooper weren't the first owners of Mass General Store, but as far as anyone knows, they, along with their two young children, were the first people to live in it full time. The building was constructed by Henry Taylor back in 1883. Back then, it was known as the Taylor General Store. In 1897, W.W. Mast bought into the business, and in 1913, he purchased it outright and gave the store its current name. When John and Fay first saw the store in late 1970s, it had been owned by a series of people who hadn't had much success in continuing what the Mast family had established. But the Coopers were enchanted by the way the building's screen door felt like a portal into history. So they sold their house and much of what they owned to gamble on their dream of opening a provision shop. With everything they had invested in the business, they decided it would be financially prudent to take up residence on the store's second floor and in its attic. That's where they were living when they reopened the store in 1980. In the winter, the attic was cold, heated only by the residual warmth of the wood stove flue that came up from the retail space below. Each night, while wind howled along the Watauga River, John would climb down the creaky steps so that he could feed the fire that comforted his family. Sometimes he'd pick up a carton of milk from the cooler on his way back upstairs so they'd have it for breakfast the next morning. The family decorated the store with antiques that had been displaced when they settled in upstairs. And the sight of the memorabilia inspired some of their first customers to bring things from their own attics to add to the walls. Often the items were goods that had been bought at the store generations before. In those early years, John frequently asked customers what they could recall about the store from its days under the Mast family's guidance, and he did his best to recreate the past. That's how the store regained its iconic checkerboard. In Valley Crucis, where outdoor pastimes are often stymied by harsh weather in winter, word quickly spread that once again it was possible to while away icy afternoons with a board game and old-timey candy surrounded by kind neighbors. The Coopers knew that the store used to have a post office in it, a place of daily ritual that was sorely missed, so they set about getting it back. Unconcerned with payment for the service, they requested a $1 fee from the U.S. Postal Service to operate it. Surprisingly, the application was declined. John called to see what had gone amiss, and a government official pointed out the substandard fee that he'd requested. When USPS had seen the measly amount, they thought he was kidding. The family moved out of the store in 1984 because they wanted a real home to make the upstairs into an office. It wasn't long before their enterprise outgrew the entire building. Their prowess with camping gear and cast iron cookery eventually led to a string of stores across the region. John and Fay's daughter Lisa became president of the company 3 years ago, and she feels that it's important to continue her parents' tradition of revitalizing abandoned structures as the company expands. It's meant a lot to us to bring buildings back to their heyday and to restore the idea of general stores as hubs of community, Lisa says. Each place has its own charm. But there's no denying that there's something special about that flagship location. On snowy days in the high country, people still show up to huddle around the wood stove that John once tended in his pajamas. Sometimes, after a game of checkers, customers will grab milk from the cooler to take back to their mountain for lunch. A few people even leave magazines and handwritten letters tucked under their arms, because Ultimately, the Coopers were successful in their quest to reinstate the store's postal operation. There's not much money involved in running the post office, John says, but it pays in goodwill and living tradition. There isn't a single place in the state with a Valley Crucis address outside of that building. All the rural routes in the area have become attached to adjacent communities like Sugar Grove and Villas through redistricting. The original Mass General store alone gives its community a zip code to call its own. And for countless locals and visitors alike, it still feels a lot like home. Written by Lee Ann Henyon. Picture at the top of a really old checkerboard, and they're playing with tops of pop bottles. The only one I can see, because the rest of it's out of focus, is a red Coca-Cola. And then here's one of those really old-fashioned mailboxes with a little window you could look in to see if it's mail. It has a number, and then there's two knobs, and I think they go from A to Z or something like that. So you just had the two dials to get into your box. Picture of the family down here and a picture inside the store, which if you've never been there, is really packed with stuff. And you can see that here. Lots and lots of stuff. The original Mass General store is at North Carolina Highway 194 in Valley Crucis. And of course they have a website. What do you think it's called? MassGeneralStore.com. And now the great outdoor provision company in Raleigh. Adventurers wanted. In the Piedmont, all hikes, paddles, and camping trips seem to start here. Chuck Millsaps was on top of Mount Mitchell, loosening his boots and savoring the bliss of a bracing winter hike, when his career at Great Outdoor Provision Company began. Not many people venture out to such a place on such a day. So when a father and son appeared on the trail, Chuck struck up a conversation. Connections were made. You're from Charlotte, too. And phone numbers exchanged. Somehow, in the dead of winter, 6,684 feet above sea level, the seeds of a lasting friendship found fertile ground. 2 years passed. Then out of the blue, that hiker dad, who'd just been hired as a manager at Great Outdoor Provision Company, tracked down Chuck and offered him a job. 33 years later, Chuck recalls, the only other time I'd seen him was on Mount Mitchell, sitting on a park bench outside the Raleigh store, sporting Olukai sandals on a crisp day. Chuck is now the company's president, its Minister of Culture, to be exact. In 2013, he and some fellow employees bought the company, which now has 9 locations. Stories like Chuck's aren't uncommon at GoPC, Outdoor Adventure Company, is a company culture. The collective staff at the 9 stores is like a wilderness expedition dream team, with experts in hiking, fishing, and paddling. Just the kind of people you want with you on a frigid mountain trek, or working a crowded sales floor 2 days before Christmas. So passionate is GoPC about its staff and their ability to inspire and connect with customers that the company refuses to sell a single item online. It is kind of odd, isn't it? Chuck laughs. But really, we just want you to come in and see us. One of the first things that customers notice when they walk into GOPC are the creaky wood floors. It's a homey, tactile welcome, envisioned by company founder Tom Vallone, who opened the first shop in 1972 in a tiny space at the back of a Carborough bike shop, stocking it with gear he'd personally tried or couldn't wait to. It's common to see staff members chatting with customers about cold weather gear for next weekend's football game or taking them out to the parking lot to test a new fly rod. It's no beautiful mountain stream, but at least you get an idea of what that rod's going to cast like, says Jim Coverney, a manager at the Chapel Hill store's fly fishing department. On his cell phone, he has a photo of a bespectacled 9-year-old boy whom he recently taught to fly fish. Before Jim's recent vacation, the boy stopped by the store to give him a fly he'd tied just for him. It was supposed to be a woolly booger, Jim laughs, but it became more like a deceiver. It was a real cool-looking, very colorful fly. In the winter, the stores also host clinics on cold-weather paddling and wilderness first aid. Another course teaches beginner backpacking skills and ends with a group hike in the spring. Throughout the year, the company sponsors events, partners on educational seminars, and reaches out to customers about issues surrounding conservation and public lands. We try to think of ourselves almost like a public library in the sense that we're a resource and we're available, Chuck says. It's not a requirement that you have some kind of a card or that you even buy something from us. But as in a library, a little browsing always leads to bringing something new home. Written by Robin Yidget Smith. You are listening to Our State Magazine on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. If you have any comments about our program, please call the studios, 919-832-5138. And now, that famous Noose Sport Shop, which everyone's been to or at least heard about, in Kinston. Going to the coast, which is usually how you find out about it. When nature calls, this outdoor superstore in Kinston has everything you need. David Farrington walks swiftly towards the back of Noose Sports Shop. He usually stops here on the drive between his home in Zebulon and his condo in Atlantic Beach. It's a place to hang, he says, before revealing what may be the true reason for stopping by. My bladder doesn't last as long as it used to. Even since the store opened in Kinston in 1953, or rather ever since it opened in 1953, the restrooms have been a selling point. At the time, people driving the long stretch of U.S. Highway 70 from the Triangle to the Crystal Coast didn't have many options for a pit stop. So when Bill and Clarence King decided to open a cinder block store to sell ice and live bait to fishermen headed toward the coast, they played up the restrooms. We're a bladder's distance from Raleigh, says Russell Rhodes, New Sports Shop's current president and CEO. The once small store has expanded and today covers an area almost the size of 1.5 football fields. Some billboards, there are between 18 and 24 out on Highway 70, still mention restrooms, but many simply announce the name of the store next to pictures of a variety of sporting fish. We don't overpromise, Rhodes says, but that's easy to say when you have almost everything an outdoor enthusiast would need to hunt, fish, or camp all under one roof. In the fishing section, a bearded 9-year-old employee named Spencer Hodges helps an older customer who's looking at baits but unable to locate what he's calling a disco chicken. It's not a brand name. Other shops have unique names for different styles of lures, and it's up to Hodges to try to figure out a close match for whatever a disco chicken might be. It must be shiny, he concludes, and he suggests a bait that's close enough. Some fishermen are superstitious, he says. Others are schemers. Before tournaments, they'll buy out entire styles of baits so that others can't get them. Or they'll swap out tags to throw off other competitors. Fishing is about your confidence level, Hodges says, before adding, speckled trout people are super secretive. There's a large hunting section as well, and in the back is an indoor gun range, soundproofed so well that you need to be fairly close to hear the shots ring out. It's high-tech, safe, and designed to keep gun smoke away from shooters. A $1 million room, Rhodes says. In short, New Sports Shop is a temple to the merchandise of nature. But sometimes nature gets angry. In 1999, when Hurricane Floyd hit, Rhodes wasn't too worried. His store wasn't in a floodplain. He returned afterwards to find 21 inches of water from the Noose River inside. With no flood insurance to help, Floyd nearly killed the store. So Rhodes and others came up with a plan for the next hurricane. They didn't have to use it until 2016 when Hurricane Matthew approached. Employees loaded up almost everything in the store onto 18 tractor trailers and trucked it all to a safe, dry place. The storm put 31 inches of water into Noose Sport Shop. But when the flood finally receded, employees and volunteers swarmed back in, squeegeed out the water, restored the power, replaced the carpet, reassembled the shelves, and restocked all the merchandise. The manpower cost more than $1 million. Trucking costs, wages, employees are paid through the storms, and lost sales. Flood insurance only covers around $500,000. That's why Noose Sport Shop opened a second location in Carteret County, to be, among other things, a hedge against storms. It's 4 feet above the floodplain, and the idea is that at least one store could stay open if the other is closed. But in Kinston, mere weeks after Hurricane Florence put 2 feet of water in the store, nothing looks out of place. The registers are up and running. Employees in blue shirts are helping customers look at shotguns, deer corn, and fishing rods. And the sounds of whirring fans and hammers have been replaced with soft rock music and the gurgling of tubs full of eels, minnows, and other live bait. It's a large place with lots of stuff and a lot of knowledge in the aisles, a lot of shared experience. A fisherman knows when he's talking to a fisherman, Rhodes says. Same with a hunter. Same with someone who survived a hurricane. You know how to talk that talk. Written by Jeremy Markovich. Our last article is entitled Uncle Sam's Closet, Delk's Army-Navy Surplus Store in Asheboro. The Delk family turns military extras into civilian must-haves. Dempsey Delk was a familiar sight at Fort Bragg, Camp Lejeune, and other military installations in and around North Carolina back in the 70s and 80s. He'd drive his big flatbed around to bases and fill it with mountains of military surplus gear and supplies. Buying military surplus bundled in lots was like bidding on unexamined boxes at an auction. The top layer in a box might be lanterns, but beneath the lanterns might be treasure, a best-selling or hard-to-find item. But it also might be toilet seats. You never know what you're going to come back with, says Frank Delk, who was still a kid when his parents ditched their welding business in 1972 to start Delk's Army-Navy Surplus Store. To build his store, Dempsey stacked hundreds, perhaps thousands, of wooden ammunition boxes in a 30-by-60-foot rectangle and covered them with metal siding to form walls. In the mid-1980s, he built a new store, about three times larger, next door to the original. Within 10 years, Delk's ran out of room again. A 16,000-square-foot structure built in 1994 is the one in use today. This mix of merchandise is all packed wall to wall to create a place that is part yard sale and part junkyard. Antique mall here and retail outlet there. Shelves, racks, and boxes hold shovels, pickaxes, machetes, and knives, gun parts and compasses, bumper stickers and bandanas, steel bunk beds and aluminum cots, duffel beds and decorative flags, camouflage netting and ghillie suits, tents and tarps, military footlockers and ammunition boxes. In the early days, nearly everything in stock was military surplus, and the predominant color was the U.S. Army's olive drab. Today, about half of the inventory is military surplus, and the colors, Delk's top-selling item, the 1¼-inch military-style web belt, is available in the traditional green, but like most of the clothing items in the store, the belts also come in all the colors of the rainbow. Every few weeks, buddies Mike Hardy and Scotty Brintle make the 80-minute drive to Delk's from Mount Airy. The longtime friends share a love for camping, hiking, and outdoors. This is my Mecca, or my Walmart, Scotty says. I just like to go around and stare and say, where in the world did he get that? Start with the N2B hooded parkas, flight jackets, which were designed in the 1950s to protect flight crews from extreme cold. Perfect if the Piedmont ever sees temperatures dip to 60 degrees below zero. For slightly less severe winter weather, there's an aisle devoted to socks, two rows of gloves, and five rows of hats, caps, and assorted headgear. And all types of insulated clothing and gear, underwear, sweaters, wool blankets. For campers who don't mind a little chilly weather, Belk sells mummy-style extreme cold sleeping bags. Though what he finds here doesn't come with a designer label, Scotty says he prefers what Delk sells over the outdoor gear sold in retail stores. This would be more of a working man's store. Anything you see in here that's surplus, it's made to take the abuse for the long haul, he says, picking up a 1970s-era military backpack called an Alice Pack, an acronym for all-purpose lightweight individual carrying equipment. It's a workhorse, he says. It's proved its durability time and time again. An old Jeep stands near the center of the store. Dempsey, who loved everything with a motor, parked it there for children. I think every kid that's ever been in here has played with it, he says. For decades, Dempsey, who died in 2012, bought military surplus vehicles to repair and resell. Frank's older brother, William, helped their father work on the vehicles and generators. Frank, who didn't like getting his hands dirty, worked out front. Since William died in January, Frank hasn't bought much of the bigger mechanical stuff, the things his father and brother would fix. Still, with his connections, Frank is confident that if a customer wants some modern-day military surplus item that Delks doesn't have, he can track it down. Just don't ask Frank to get a tank. Delks doesn't carry guns, either. But if you happen to be in the market for a Bell military helicopter, give him a call. Delks has one in stock. Thanks to Chip Womack for writing that. Delks is at 4705 U.S. Highway 64 in Ashboro. And their web address is DelksArmyNavySurplus.com. Well, you can hear the countdown going in there for end of our time. I'm just flipping through to see if there's anything quick to cover here. Going backwards, on January 31st, the North Carolina Jazz Festival will be in Wilmington. On Ocean Isle Beach, the Silver Coast Bridal Show is on the 27th. 26 is Unfinished Business, a Masterworks concert in Wilmington. 25th, Coffee Crawl, also in Wilmington. And also in Wilmington, Wilmington Antiques Show and Sale on the 18th. Centrally, in Cary, the Next Generation Leahy. Learn about Celtic music, song, and dance at this concert. Served at the performed by three generations at the Leahy family at the Cary Arts Center. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine. Certainly hope you enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. Questions, comments? Call the studios, 919-832-5138. But so long, until next time.